Chapter 7. I went to Wemmick's castle on Sunday to ask him for his advice on investing in Herbert and his merchant and shipping company. Wemmick was out, but the aged let me in, and I spent a lot of time nodding with the aged, which made me laugh a lot. When Wemmick came home, he had brought a girl with him called Miss Giffins. She was a nice woman, but she wore some odd clothes. I didn't want Herbert to find out that I was investing some of my money in him. Wemmick told me that there was a shipping merchant he knew that was trying to expand his company. I had tea with Wemmick, the aged, and Miss Skiffins. Wemmick seemed to like Miss Skiffins a lot. He kept trying to put his arm around her. I went home that night feeling I was going to do something good with the money I had been given. I didn't know it then, but I was reaching a turning point in my life. I went to see Richmond to see Estella almost every day. Miss Havisham's rich friends were making sure that Estella was meeting a lot of other rich people. I was very much in love with Estella, but so were all the other boys that were coming to the house to meet her. She used me to make all the other boys jealous, and then would tease me afterwards. After months of going to visit her, we decided to go and visit Miss Havisham together. She was very happy to see Estella and seemed to be paying even more attention to her than she ever had before. Miss Havisham asked her lots of questions about Richmond, including how Estella had used me to make other boys and men jealous. Miss Havisham and Estella sat by the fireplace together, and Miss Havisham made Estella tell her all about the men that had fallen in love with her. As I watched them, I realized that Estella was Miss Havisham's way of getting revenge on all men for how she was treated by the young man that had run off on her wedding day. She had brought Estella up to hurt and ruin every man that came across her. But I was still certain that I would marry her one day. Miss Havisham and Estella were holding hands while they were talking. But when Estella let go of her hand, it made Miss Havisham very angry. "You are a terrible and heartless girl. You are so cold. You must show me some love," she cried. "You are not my real mother. I cannot give you what I don't have. You made me cold and heartless," Estella replied. I didn't want to stay and see the two of them argue. I went for a walk, and when I came back, Estella was sitting at Miss Havisham's feet. It was as if they had never argued. I never saw another argument like it again in all my life. One night, not long after, I was at the Finches, and Drummle was there too. He was telling some people about he was going to marry Estella, and that she was in love with him. I was so angry that I shouted, "Drummle, you liar!" Drummle looked at me and took out a letter that Estella had written to him. I was very embarrassed and even angrier than before. There was a party not long after that. Drummle and Estella were at the party too. I had to spend the whole night watching the two of them together. I asked Estella, "Why do you let the spider spend so much time with you?" "He is good at making other boys jealous. But I don't want to make you jealous," she told me. I knew then that I was not going to marry Estella. She had plans for Drummle, and I was still a silly boy to her. On my 23rd birthday, I was on my own. Herbert was in France, working for the shipping merchant I had invested money in. There was a big storm on the night of my birthday. It was dark, and the wind was so strong that it kept blowing smoke back down the chimney into my rooms. The lights in the street were being blown out by the wind. I was watching out of the window when I heard footsteps on the stairs. I thought it might be the ghost of Mrs. Joe coming to see me, but it was a stranger that was looking for Mr. Pip. The stranger came into my room and sat down. It took me a while to realize who the stranger was, but when I did, I was very scared. It was my very own prisoner that I had met on the marsh when I was 6 years old. He was very happy to see me, even though I wasn't happy to see him. "I hope you have become a better man, but I don't want anything to do with you," I told him. Then I realized that he had been crying. I felt bad for being so mean, so I went to get the man something to drink and apologized for being mean. My prisoner took my hand and told me, "I have been a sheep farmer in Australia since I last saw you," he told me. I tried to give him back the money that he sent me through the man in the pub all those years ago. When he saw my money, he asked me how rich I was. It was a strange question, so I asked him lots of questions, until I found out He was the man who was giving me all the money. I didn't know what to say. My prisoner talked about what a good gentleman I had become, and that there was more to do yet. He told me that being a sheep farmer was very lonely, and when he was feeling very bad, he thought about me, and he knew that everything would be all right. I was his reason for living. I was never meant to be a gentleman, but I have made one. I am very proud of you and everything you have done as a gentleman, he told me. All I could think about was Estella. As Herbert was in France, I gave my prisoner Herbert's room to sleep in. I went to bed thinking about how wrong I had been about everything. Miss Havisham wasn't the one giving me all this money, and more importantly, she didn't want me to marry Estella. All my dreams of marrying Estella were now impossible. I had left Joe for an impossible dream that I had made myself believe. I fell asleep on the floor and was woken by a storm at 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know what to do about my prisoner. All the lights had been blown out in the storm. I went down to light them. I had a lot of questions for my prisoner when he woke up the next day. "What is your name?" I asked him. "Magwitch. But when I am in London, I tell people my name is Provis," he replied. I asked him how I was going to keep him a secret. He told me that if the police found him, he would be killed, but it didn't matter because he had found me. "I want you to become a real gentleman. Spend all of my money and live with me for the rest of my life," he told me. I decided to go and see Mr. Jaggers to find out if it was true. He told me that it was, and that Magwitch was the man that wanted me to be a gentleman and had left me all his money. On my way home, I stopped to buy Magwitch some new clothes so that he didn't look like an escaped prisoner. But even new clothes didn't help. Now that he was here, I was scared all the time. I thought about leaving everything and running off to India as a soldier, but I stayed in London. When Herbert came home, Magwitch made him promise not to tell anyone about him. Herbert was very confused until I told him the story about Magwitch and why he was in our home. Herbert was very surprised, but he was also very helpful. I wanted to give Magwitch all of the money he had given me, so Herbert said, "Take Magwitch and leave England. Go somewhere he will be safe." It was a very good idea. The next morning at breakfast, I asked Magwitch to tell me all about his life. He told me that he had paid back all the money he owed to people and had been in prison for all the crimes he had done. He had spent a lot of his life in prison. The first time he went to prison was for stealing food because he was an orphan that no one wanted. He had learned to do a lot of things, even read and write, to help him live without any help. More than 20 years ago, he had met a man who looked like a gentleman, but wasn't one at all. His name was Compeyson. He had become Magwitch's partner, and they had done all sorts of crimes together. Compeyson had another partner called Arthur. Arthur and Compeyson had gotten a lot of money out of a rich lady for a brewery, but they had lost all the money. Arthur died after the ghost of a woman in white kept following him. Compeyson used Magwitch to do all the hard work and didn't give him much money. Because Magwitch did all the work, when they were caught, Compeyson didn't get sent to prison for as long as Magwitch did. The court thought he was a gentleman who deserved a second chance. Magwitch and Compeyson were on the prison ship near my home in the marsh. It was Compeyson that had been fighting Magwitch on the marsh when they were caught. "Is he still alive?" I asked. "I don't know," Magwitch said. Herbert was listening to the story with me. When he heard the names, he wrote something on a piece of paper and gave it to me. It said, "Arthur was the name of Miss Havisham's half-brother. Compeyson was the man she was supposed to marry and told her to buy the brewery from Arthur."